Scripture is taken out of Acts 8, verses 1 to 8, and it reads, "And Saul approved of their killing him. That day a severe persecution began against the church in Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout the countryside of Judea and Samaria. Devout men buried Stephen and made him lamentation over him. But Saul was ravaging the church by entering the house after house, dragging off both men and women. He committed them to prison. Now those who were scattered went from place to place, proclaiming the word. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed the Messiah to them. The crowds with one accord listened eagerly to what was said by Philip, hearing and seeing the signs that he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud shrieks, came out of many who were possessed, and many others who were paralyzed, lame, were cursed. So there was great joy in that city." This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. So I continue the sermon series looking at personal evangelism, remembering that personal evangelism is when we minister just ourselves to one other person. And personal evangelism is different than corporate evangelism. In corporate evangelism, the goal is to change people's actions, but in personal evangelism, your goal is to change a person's attitude. Remembering that Chinese UMC does corporate evangelism well, we have many teachers who teach Sunday school to all the children. We are evangelizing to the children. We have wonderful directors and volunteers in the Chinatown Children's Choir Ministry that helps both the parents and the children. We have corporate evangelism very well. Our United Methodist Women does wonderful fundraisers and devotions and meeting times. As a group, they have a way to deepen their spiritual faith. They do corporate evangelism well. So I want to continue, though, to challenge us as church members to look at ways we do personal evangelism. How you in your life have one person, a friend, a neighbor, a coworker, or even a family member that you know you need to evangelize to. And remember, printed on the back of your bulletin are those ways of personal evangelism. When we are actively telling about God in our life, when we are listening to another person's spiritual needs, when we are praying for that person regularly, when we are sharing the gospel, the good news, and when we are leading that person to commit their lives fully in God. Personal evangelism. Let us pray. Lord, I ask that these words speak your wisdom and your truth. Lord, I ask that you know the meditations and thoughts we hold in our hearts. Lord, I ask that these thoughts and reflections be your will, Lord, and that you continue to guide us as you do each day. Continue to let the scriptures speak to us, and continue to let us serve you faithfully. In your son's name, amen. So in high school, in 10th grade, I took chemistry. And our teacher, at the beginning of the school year, gave the class a challenge. He said, if you could memorize the whole periodic table of elements and recite it for me, he would give you an A on the class final. Pretty cool, huh? Sounds like it would be easy, but when you really think about it, and I know we've had some chemistry science persons in our midst, I think there are 118, tell me if I'm wrong, elements total, or the ones that we know of. So you think, okay, I've got, you know, September, October, November, December, 4 months to memorize these 118 elements in their order. I tried so many ways to memorize these elements. You know, I broke them down into those smaller sections, like, you know, the picture of the periodic table, how they're different color-coded and there's different columns. I sort of arranged those and had them by color. I tried to memorize one row or column at a time, trying to find a pattern that would help me memorize it. That didn't work. I failed, but I kept trying. I didn't stop. Then I did what they said you could do, like associations. They say for each element, have a short story or fun fact that will help you remember that element and its abbreviation. For example, they say Argentina, so you say an AG for Argentum, sounds similar. Argentina was a country named after the metal silver was the Spanish had landed there and they found lots of silver. So if you could see AG Argentum and remember Argentina, you'd have this whole story. But you'd have to do that for all 118 elements. I gave up that way of trying. Another way a friend devised was sort of like sayings or, again, slogans. So for gold, who knows what the symbol for gold is? AU. It's pretty common, right? So AU, her thing was, AU, give me back my gold. So that's how she'd remember AU. Or one of my favorites, and the teacher told us about this, there's the Elements song. Do you guys know that one? Aaron, do you want to sing it for me? Do you know it? Okay. It's been made more recently popular, I think, because they said Daniel Radcliffe, the man who played Harry Potter, I guess sang it on YouTube and it became more famous. But the Elements song goes to the tune of Gilbert and Sullivan's A Modern Major General. So here's my short attempt for the first part of it. Okay. There's antimony, arsenic, aluminum, and selenium, and hydrogen, and oxygen, and nitrogen, and rhenium. And there's more and more and more. So that's just one of half of one verse. There's 10 verses total. Again, 118 elements. I tried that way. It failed. And finally, after months of trying, around late October, I said, oh, I'm never going to be able to memorize these by December. So I gave up. I failed each time I tried, and each time I tried and failed, I got more and more depressed and more frustrated and more further away from the goal. Instead of knowing at least 20, 50, some of the elements, I felt like I knew less or I was getting stories confused, and I had that song and the tune in my head, but not the words. So I gave up. In personal evangelism, you will be challenged many times. You will try many ways to evangelize to that friend, to that neighbor, even to that family member, and you will experience many failures. You will be tempted to give up. You'll be tested, you will be failed, you will try something that works and then find it doesn't. All these challenges will be put in our way, but we must remember in personal evangelism, take it easy on yourself. If you see on the back of your worship bulletin, I have listed the activities of personal evangelism. Take the first one first and try that. When you succeed at that, then attempt the next one, and then attempt the next one. Each one builds you up till that final step of being able to lead someone to surrender their life to Jesus Christ. Don't be so hard on yourself, but also know that as you fail, it's okay, just try again. And that is part of the duh of personal evangelism. Things we must practice if we say, yes, we want to be a personal evangelist, and yes, we know someone we need to reach out to. We must be disciplined in our actions and faith. We must have unbreakable faith, and we must have a heart for the Lord. So this morning, I'm going to focus on unbreakable faith and what it means to have unbreakable faith and how important it is to have unbreakable faith as we practice personal evangelism. Unbreakable faith, we see in this morning's passage by the story of Philip, is important to see how his faith was unbreakable, even in times of persecution. Philip was not one of the original 12 apostles, but he was called by them to help serve the people. In the beginning of Acts chapter 6, we see that as the church is growing in the days, the number of disciples were increasing. People, though, were complaining that the widows of the areas were being neglected because they were no longer receiving their daily distribution of food. So one of the original 12 apostles calls the whole community together and says, "It is not right that we should neglect the word of God in order to wait on tables." There is the struggle of serving the people, but also sharing the word of God. So what do they do? This disciple says, "Therefore, let us select from the friends amongst ourselves 7 good men of standing, full of spirit, full of wisdom, whom we can appoint to this task." And they took the vote, they prayed about it, and they selected 7 men. Amongst those men, they chose Stephen, they say he was a man full of faith and Holy Spirit. Stephen, together with Philip and other men, they were the people who were tasked to help serve the widows, to feed those who were hungry and in need. So Philip was a part of this first important group that served the church in a new way. Yes, Philip also spread the word. And I like to say Philip was then one of the first personal evangelists. He served the widow the food. He gave food to the needy. But at the same time, he was sharing the good news, telling about Christ in his life. So he was doing personal evangelism. Now, if you remember last week's passage, we read about Stephen and the stoning, and how Stephen, even as he was being stoned to death, even as he was laid at Saul's feet, even as they were shouting at him, Stephen still says, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." He kneels down and he cries in a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." And after he said this, he died. But we see Stephen's faith, his discipline, his evangelism. Even as he is being killed, he is asking for forgiveness for those who are killing him. He is practicing personal evangelism. And we know directly after the stoning in Stephen, we have this morning's passage from Acts chapter 8. We know that Saul has then approved of the killing of him, Stephen. And if you know the scriptures and you know your Bible, you know Saul eventually later on has his own conversion and becomes Paul. And we often focus so much on Paul and Paul's words and Paul's ministry and all the writings of Paul. But sometimes we forget that Paul was once Saul. So we need to also see the people that evangelized in a way to Saul, how they did personal evangelism to him indirectly. And one of those people is Philip, who we see in this morning's message. We know, though, at the beginning that Saul approved of the killing of Stephen. And he even went further than that. They say that that day a severe persecution began in the church against the people of Jerusalem. They say that everyone was scattered throughout the countryside of Judea and Samaria. The devout men, they buried Stephen, and they made loud lamentations over him. They were so, so sad. But Saul, he was not sad. Instead, he was ravishing the church, they say. They say that he entered house by house by house. Because also in those times, there was not a church. You could not just go down a street and go into any church for worship service. Many of the church gatherings were hidden in people's homes because they were being persecuted, because the temples were unsafe place for them to practice and worship God and share about the good news of Jesus Christ. So Saul, he went home to home to home, knowing people were gathering there, knowing faithful people were following Jesus Christ there. And what did he do? Saul, he dragged both men and women out of their homes and he committed them to prison. Prison was a place where people were persecuted. Prison was a place where the people were being beaten, where they were being put on trial, sometimes unfairly, and even some were being put to death. Saul became known as a persecutor of Christians. People feared for him. People scattered from him. They left the places where they would normally worship. We see in this morning's passage that Philip, he had unbreakable faith. He did not let all these things, these failures, if you would think about this new church, affect him. Instead, we know in this morning's passage of Philip in verse 5, he went down to the city of Samaria and he proclaimed the Messiah to the city. He was actively telling of God's presence in his life. He was also then listening to the spiritual needs of the people of the city. It says that the crowd listened to him also, to what Philip was saying, and they saw the signs that he did. The unclean spirits, those who were crying out loud, those who were possessed, those who were paralyzed, those who were lame, they were all cured. Philip was actively praying for these people. He was sharing the gospel with them. He was leading the people to their desire to surrender one's life to Christ. He was doing all this even with the threat of he himself being arrested, of he himself being persecuted, of his own life taken away. But he still practiced personal evangelism. They say in the closing verse from this morning's passage, there was such great joy in that city that even though the new Christians encountered failures, even though they encountered roadblocks, they kept their faith, they kept sharing the gospel. And because of this, there was such great joy in that city. That is what it means when you can lead someone to God. You will experience such great joy, and they themselves and their lives will experience such great joy. I want us to look about having unbreakable faith then, because our faith must not be broken. We must remember instead that Christ's body was broken on the cross for us so that we may have unbreakable faith. His body was broken for us. Our sins are forgiven if you accept Jesus Christ in your life, to then have unbreakable faith in your acts of personal evangelism, to actively tell about the activity of God in your life. It's not that hard. Think about things that are important in your life and how God placed those things in your life. I said the Cabbage Patch doll when I had a bloody nose would comfort me all the time. But really now, as an adult, I realize it was my parents who comforted me. They were the ones that God blessed me with, that I was a child of my parents, but ultimately a child of God. But it was God who comforted me through my parents, through the doctors, when I would always have those bloody nose as a child. And I say the veil is an important thing in my life. It symbolizes my wedding, one of the most joyous days of my life. But it was God who guided me, who led Phil to me. And I know all my aunties and uncles, by the time I hit 28, 30, 32, were a little bit worried about me and that maybe I would never get married. But I still had faith in God who led me to the person who I belonged with. And then that purse, you know, in Amsterdam, it was a fun trip, but I share with you, let's see what happened. In Amsterdam, on I think the second day, Phil got food poisoning. In Amsterdam, on the train from Amsterdam to Brussels, we nearly missed the train. We were so confused in the train station, we nearly missed it, but we made it. In Bruges, Phil fell downstairs in a restaurant, these stone stairs. It was quite scary. Everyone in the restaurant stopped and paused because it was a loud fall downstairs, but he was okay. And then in Paris, my purse got stolen, my wallet got stolen. I don't know if you remember me telling that story, by gypsies in the train station. And you know, they have signs all over the place, beware pickpockets, but I thought I was okay. It wasn't the most greatest trip, right? But God continued to see us safely from each destination, continued to give us signs of joy. The people in Paris who helped after my wallet got stolen, my cousin who we were visiting there, who worked at a restaurant, and the owner of the restaurant found out my wallet got stolen and gave us the free sushi dinner. You know, all these nice people that were surrounding us, all people placed in life by God. I can actively then tell someone about how God is present in my life through these wonderful things. You can do that as well. Share about something important to your life and how God put that in your life, and share it then with the person you know needs to be evangelized to. We also need to listen to the spiritual needs of our friends as well. Kleinbell says that there are five spiritual needs that people have. They need healing. Healing love of God. Something has happened in their life that has broken them. But you, listening to their spiritual needs, can tell them how God can help heal them, can make them whole again. You, having unbreakable faith, can help someone who is broken. Another spiritual need that Kleinbell says that people have is what's called renewing times. They just need to be renewed or just refreshed. People can be so sad by what is happening in the world. People can be so depressed by what can be happening in their jobs or things of thinking about their own lives or failures or not reaching what they think is a successful times. But they can be renewed by your own listening to them and telling about how wonderful God can be in their lives. The other day, I participated in the Women's March in Los Angeles, and it was a renewing and joyful time. And I don't agree with everyone who protests against Trump, but there was something about being with other people who believed in justice, who believed in equality for all, people who believed that women, persons of color, everyone had a right to health care, and all those wonderful things that they were talking about in the march. It was a renewing time, and you can bring that renewing time to someone in your life. They say a third spiritual need for people to have is also hope during tragedies. That is a spiritual need. When someone faces a major tragedy, an accident, a loss of a loved one, a loss of a job, things that are inconceivable is a tragedy. But there is the need for hope, for you to give them hope, to say, I'm listening to you, and they say, these are ways that God gives me hope, and I hope God can give you hope as well. Another spiritual need someone feels is the value for justice, a moral center. Don't we often hear and say, you know, we as Christians know we have the moral center. We have the golden rule to do unto others, the greatest commandment to love God first with all our heart, mind, and soul, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. We have that great moral center. But other people feel like they might be lacking that in their life. That's a spiritual need that you can listen about. And then the last one is just inner wisdom, a peace that you can get by doing spiritual disciplines, by praying, by reading the Bible. There's these spiritual needs that people have that we can help fulfill as we personally evangelize to them. We also must remember to pray for our friends, to share the gospel for the person, to lead people to surrender their life to Him. But to do all this with unbreakable faith, to not give up, to have something that can lead us and guide us through our tough times. For me, sometimes I pick a scripture passage and use that passage over and over again for a month or two or so to help guide me. For Uncle Fred's funeral service on Monday, I used the passage Romans 14:7-9, and that has been something that has helped guide me during these past times. When I know I need to share the gospel to someone, when I know I need to lead someone to a life to surrender to Christ. I've read Psalms 14:7-9 to myself, and I read it to you out loud today. We do not live to ourselves, and we do not die to ourselves. If we live, we live to the Lord. If we die, we die to the Lord. So then whether we live or whether we die, we are always the Lord's. For to this end Christ died and lived again, so that He might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. Remember that great sacrifice of Christ. So hard was it for the people who experienced it then, and hard for us to hear today now. But we know in Christ's death there was resurrection, there was love, there was mercy and grace that made available for all. Let that guide you to make it so that your faith is unbreakable. I encouraged you last Sunday, and I encourage you again to think about someone then in your life who needs to know God's love, who needs to accept Christ in their heart. A friend, a neighbor, a co-worker, or even, yes, a family member. Someone that you can evangelize to tell about how God is active in your life, to listen to their spiritual needs, to pray for them always, to share the gospel, and to lead them to a life of Christ, doing so in a disciplined way and doing so with unbreakable faith. Let us pray. Amazing and loving God, we know that You have given us the faith that we have, the faith that we learn more and more about and draw closer to You, God. So thankful for the gift of Your Son, Jesus Christ, whose body was broken on the cross for us, but who rose from the dead, resurrected and ascended to Your side, Lord, so that we may continue to be Your sons and daughters here today. We ask, Lord, that at times when our faith is tested or times when we are rejected by those who we are reaching out to, that, Lord, You continue to give us wisdom, that You continue to give us faith, a faith that is unbreakable, and that You always continue to use us, Lord, to Your will. In Your Son, Jesus Christ's name, amen.